would open its wings would span across one horizon to the other horizon. Now, in this day and age, we can imagine this type of animal because we've seen so many special effects and all these types of things. So we have the ability to imagine this. But anyway, this was the animal. It was a small animal, it was a white animal, and it opened its wings across both horizons. Now, it comes in the book of Imam Tirmidhi that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mounted this animal. Now, this animal was going to be the vehicle for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam through the rest of his journey. This is a very special animal that was given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for this journey. Anyway, in the book of Imam Tirmidhi, it comes that at the beginning of the journey, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sat on top of the animal. Now when he sat on top of the animal started frisking around like this. Now you know if you've ever ridden on a horse, it's a little bit strong and powerful. It has a very, very strong throw. And it can throw a human being right off the horse. So the animal started frisking around like this. And the angel Jibra'il, he went to the animal and he scolded the animal. He said to the animal, don't you know who's riding upon you? Don't you know what kind of being is riding upon you? Now when the animal was told this by the angel Jibra'il, it comes in the hadith that the animal, he put his head down in shame. And he became completely docile to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So actually, from this hadith, from this part of the hadith, the ulama take out two major points. Number one, they say that this animal was actually tame. This was a tame animal brought by the angel Jibra'il and trained by the angel Jibra'il alayhi salam himself. So why was the animal so frisky? So they say that actually it was not because the animal was wild, but it was because of the weight of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the animal. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was such an enormous being. He was the purpose of the creation of the universe. So it's no joke for that animal to hold the weight, the magnificence of the Prophet alayhi salam. In fact, this is further evidenced by another hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was once standing on a mountain with Abu Bakr radiallahu an, Hazrat Ali radiallahu an, and Hazrat Umar radiallahu an. Now, as all of them were standing together on this mountain, the mountain began shaking. Now, you know how firm mountains are planted in the ground. The mountain began shaking. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam then spoke to the mountain and said, do not shake, because upon you is a Siddiq and two martyrs. And then the mountain all of a sudden stopped shaking. Anyway, if you go through hadith, you'll find so many examples of the ground shaking, of human beings shaking, etc., due to the greatness of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So in this particular case, we see that even an animal as powerful as the Buraq, who would have the ability to fly the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam from Mecca to Jerusalem in the blink of an eye, and then have the ability of taking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam all the way to the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even such a powerful animal had difficulty carrying the great magnificence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So that's the first lesson that we learned. Now the second take-home point from that lesson is that actually all of creation recognizes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his greatness. And so the same behooves us that we recognize the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his greatness. Now it's ironic that out of all of creation, the only beings that perhaps don't recognize the true greatness of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam are human beings. And that's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a choice. The angels recognize the Prophet alayhi wasallam. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Verily Allah and his angels are always sending salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as evidenced by the Holy Quran. The mountains recognize the greatness of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The animals recognize the greatness of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It's human beings that sometimes mistakenly don't recognize his greatness. So actually this is a lesson for us to think about. How much do we really respect the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to a special maqam. And that's why we respect the Prophet alayhi salam. Allah chose him to be the final messenger. Allah chose him to be the greatest of all of creation. It's a blessing for us to be from his community. And so it behooves us to respect the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in as many ways as possible. So how do we do that? Number one, by obeying his command. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam evidenced for us a manner of living. He told us how to wake, how to sleep, how to eat, how to be. All of these things are done for our sake. And every time we act upon them, we end up raising the greatness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Similarly, we're told to make dua for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Think about how much the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought us. And how dependent we are on him. Everything that defines us is through the Prophet alayhi salam. If we didn't have this deen, we'd be like everybody else outside of this masjid. Running up after the false vanities of this life and not having any purpose except chasing goods and accumulating them. That's what the most people do in this life. They worry about eating, they worry about sleeping, they worry about where they live. Animals do that, and most human beings do that. How many people are there in this world who have the grand ecstasy of being able to make their purpose of life the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And who brought us that message? Why do we know that that is actually what makes us valuable? It's because of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah chose him to send this message, and so we should respect him by following him, by emulating him, by sending salawat upon him, by saying sallallahu alaihi wasallam after we hear his great name. The Sharia highlights the ways to do this. That's a whole separate discussion. The point from this part of the hadith is to recognize that even the Buraq recognized the weight of carrying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon his shoulders. Anyway, once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mounted this animal, the angel Jibra'il alaihi salam became the tour guide. In fact, it comes in hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ثُمَّ أَخَذَ بِيَدِي. Then, the angel Jibra'il alayhi salam, he grabbed me by my hand. Okay, most of this audience is from Indo-Pak background, and even the Arabs have the same thing. One of the things that you'll find, when two people are very close to one another, what do? They walk hand in hand with one another. Now I remember when I first went to study in Pakistan, and I was studying with the students, one time I was walking with one of the students, and he grabbed me by my hand. And he started holding my hand and walking with me. And I thought, what is this guy doing? You know, we don't do that. You know what kind of people do that in America, right? Which kind of men hold hands with one another in America? We're not used to that type of thing. So I was wondering, why is this guy grabbing my hand? But actually, this is a sign of love. And all the way back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is part of our culture. That when two people love one another, they grab one another's hands, and they walk with one another. Now, this is the type of love that occurs between brothers within the deen. It's a very special kind of love. In fact, we find in various hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was walking hand in hand with Umar one time. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, I love you more than anything in this world except myself. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then your deen is not complete. You have to love me even more than you love yourself. Then Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu came to a point in his iman where he then turned back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I love you more than everything in this life, including myself. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then turned back to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu and said, Al-an, now Ya Umar radiallahu anhu, your deen is complete. So on that event, that famous hadith that we've heard over and over again, they were walking hand in hand. So it's a very, very deep relationship that exists between two people when they walk hand in hand. Now subhanAllah, look at the relationship here. What does the Prophet ﷺ say about the angel Jibra'il alayhi salam as they were walking together to the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? ثُمَّ أَخَذَ بِيَدِي. Then the angel Jibra'il alayhi salam, he grabbed my hand and both started walking where? Walking to the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ajib. Ajib, what kind of unique trip this must have been. What type of love must have existed between the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the angel Jibreel alayhi salam, and what must have been going through whatever mind they had that they were now walking together hand in hand where? To the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just something to be imagined, how incredible the scene must have been and how beautiful that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam preserved it in his words in the book of Imam Bukhari all the way until the end of time. Okay, so anyway, as the journey continued, now the journey is going to occur from Mecca to Jerusalem. Now as they made this journey at the speed of light. And they reached Jerusalem just within a second. But on the way, they passed through a special area. Actually, they passed through three separate areas and then they went into a special area. So let's start here. As they were moving, on three separate occasions, the angel Jibra'il alayhi salam, as the tour guide, asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to land to dismount from the animal and to pray two rak'ah nafil salah. Three places. The first place, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dismounted. He got down and he prayed two rak'ah nafil salah. And it was a land that was full of dates. Full of dates. And actually that was Yathrib. Yathrib is the name of Medina. It was the old name of Medina. So here first the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told to stop and pray two rak'ah in Medina. Then they mounted again. Then they continued on the journey. Then the angel Jibreel alayhi salam again told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to stop in a very white land. And that land was actually Madian. Madian is a famous place where some prophets were sent. And there the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed two rak'ah. Then they again mounted. Then they went to Bethlehem. Right before they entered Jerusalem, they went to Bethlehem. And when they got to Bethlehem, again the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told to dismount. And he prayed two rak'ah in the birthplace of Isa alayhi salam. Now actually there are two different hadith that narrate this event. In one version, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's third stop. Now this was not a direct flight. This was, you know, the flight that takes a bunch of stops. On his third stop, he stopped in Bethlehem and prayed at the birthplace of Isa alayhi salam. But in another version of the hadith, the third stop was the Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai is where Musa alayhi salam spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and where the Torah was revealed. So actually in another version, that was the third place. Irrespective, the ulama take out one major point from this particular part of the hadith. And that is that there is benefit in making salah in places of barakah. Actually, they take out two points. First point, well, let's do the first point, which is that there is benefit in making salah in places of barakah. So you see that each of these places were blessed places. For example, Yathrib was going to be a blessed place. Although it was not yet a blessed place, it was going to be. Madian was a blessed place. Bethlehem, a blessed place. Mount Sinai, a blessed place. So in each of these places, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went there for the barakah of the place. Similarly in our deen, we have places where there is more barakah and other places where there is less barakah. For example, right now it's 8:40. Okay? So it is permissible for you to pray nafil salah any place on the earth.